It is Nicole Sandler in for Randy Rhodes this week, having a great time reliving some of the good and the bad and the ugly from 2011 as we sort of listen back to some of the highlights and the lowlights and pause to talk to some wonderful callers and some great guests. And in fact, you know, one of the big stories of the year was the breaking through of the sort of the iron curtain that surrounded this group, ALEC, because I guarantee that before the middle of this year, when a website was born called ALEC-exposed.org, most of us had not heard of this group, ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council. And Lisa Graves joins me now. Lisa is the executive director of the Center for Media and Democracy. Their website is prwatch.org. And Lisa, was this a collaborative effort between you guys and the nation? Because I know John Nichols worked really hard on ALEC Exposed as well.
That's right. Thank you so much, Nicole. We, the Center for Media and Democracy, received documents from a whistleblower. They were the over 800 bills, model bills, that were secretly voted on by corporations and politicians behind closed doors and then introduced in state houses across the country, cleansed of any reference to the fact that they were ALEC bills or that they'd been pre-voted on by corporations. And in the process of deciding to break that story and post those documents so that everyone could see what bills were corporate pre-voted on, we worked with the nation to do a special edition, a special focus of their summer magazine to highlight really the lowlights of ALEC's efforts to rework our laws in almost every area, including education law, including democracy and voting. And I also did a piece for The Nation as part of that, talking about how the Koch brothers had been instrumentally involved in ALEC, had been funding it, bankrolling it, and how they were trying to basically rework our laws in the U.S. in their own image to make their sort of extreme view of America into a legally binding reality for the rest of us.
It is frightening. And one of the things, finally, that people are starting to stand up and take notice of are these voter suppression laws, the laws requiring a photo ID. And because it's happened so much now and we are getting into an election year, I think people are finally standing up and taking notice. There's a terrible story that broke on Monday, December 26th, a 93-year-old Tennessee woman who cleaned the state capitol for 30 years, including the governor's office, won't be able to vote for the first time in decades after she was told this week that her old state ID failed to meet new voter ID regulations. A 93-year-old woman who's always voted and now is told that her old ID is not good enough. So she went to get a driver's license. But this woman, Thelma Mitchell, was delivered by a midwife in Alabama in 1918, has never had a birth certificate. When she told that to the driver's license clerk, he suggested she might be an illegal immigrant. And this woman now, it's comical, but it would be really funny if it weren't
right.
So sad.
Right. No, that's right. And Ms. Mitchell's story is one that is increasingly common. It's really an outrage for us to enter the 21st century, to be sitting here in 2011 and have this wave of laws that are intended to deny American citizens the right to vote. You know, it's really basically unprecedented in modern history since the Voting Rights Act was passed about 40 or so years ago, for there to be such an effort and such a concerted effort to basically deny American citizens their most fundamental right to vote. And that's exactly what happened. And these ALEC bills, there's a particular ALEC bill on what is known as voter ID or voter suppression, really is a template for bills that were passed across the country this year. And those bills claim that they're about stopping voter fraud, which is exceedingly rare in the United States, extremely rare. And the effect of them is likely to disenfranchise perhaps millions of voters in the United States, including elderly voters who, like Ms. Mitchell, were not born in a hostel but were born to a midwife who never had their citizenship questioned, who've been active citizens, active voters for decades. It will also disenfranchise hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of college students, because college students get their ID when they often are 16 years old, get their driver's license, they move off to college, they live in their college towns, they don't necessarily redo their driver's license in order to reflect their most recent dorm address.
Right.
In the past, until many of these laws passed, you could go to the voter registration basically with your driver's license, even from your hometown, and show your utility bill or some recent proof that you've been living in the district, so you're a resident of the district, and be able to vote. And what these bills are designed to do is basically to suppress those votes, to suppress the votes of African Americans, to suppress the votes of students, to suppress the votes of Latinos, to suppress the votes of people who are shut-ins, people at nursing homes and others who don't drive and so don't have driver's licenses. It's a scandal, it's outrageous, and it has ALEC DNA.
It does. Again, we're speaking with Lisa Graves of the Center for Media and Democracy, and the website they put together this year, alecexposed.org. It's A-L-E-C, exposed.org. And one of the, there's so much you can find on this website. You can spend hours navigating it, but it might add to that holiday depression if you're feeling it. You talk about who's behind ALEC. And again, as I try to explain a lot, it's sort of a corporate state legislative partnership. Now, the corporations, as you told us, spend tens of thousands of dollars to belong. A state legislator, it costs them, what, like $50 to join?
Yeah, it's I call it holiday righteous anger, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
People ought to be outraged by this.
But yeah.
This is a group that says it's the largest body of state legislators in the country, meaning the senators and assemblymen and women who are elected to serve in the state houses. Those legislators pay $50 a year. Some of them are so cheap they don't even pay it themselves. They have you, the taxpayer, pay it for them. Meanwhile, the real budget of this organization is made by corporate donations. Some of the biggest corporations in the world, global corporations, many of whom aren't even based in the U.S., are headquartered abroad, are spending 10, 20, 30, 100,000 or more bankrolling this group in order to get access to these legislators.
Wow. And basically what happens is the reason that we're seeing very similar legislation, if not exactly the same, popping up from state to state is because ALEC writes these bills. They're model bills, and they give them to the state legislatures and many legislators, and many of them take them and just introduce them as they stand, right?
Well, yes, except for with one clarification. I think ALEC operates like a facilitator, almost like a procurer in a way, and I won't say the other word for that term. But basically, you know, these corporations have lobbyists who are writing bills.
Uh-huh.
They have their wish lists of what they want to accomplish, and ALEC helps put those wish lists in the hands of the politicians. Then the politicians and corporations get in a room, close the door, keep the press out, and they vote on them and approve them together. Then those legislators go back to their state houses and they act almost like super lobbyists for the corporations and introduce those bills in their state house. We know a couple things that people would be shocked to know. One is that the state chairman of ALEC, the politicians who are chosen as the state chairman, have a duty under ALEC bylaws to get those bills introduced. The corporate bills introduced, and we know that in the past, ALEC has given out Legislator of the Year awards, which have been cash awards for legislators who do their bidding.
Wow.
Who are, you know, stellar performers in advancing the ALEC mission, the ALEC ideal. So ALEC itself often says it doesn't write the bills, and that would probably be correct because they're often written by the lobbyists for the big corporations, for the global corporations, for the Wall Street firms, for foreign corporations.
All right, and then ALEC facilitates getting
yes.
them from the lobbyists to the legislators.
Yep.
This is stunning. I mean, if this wasn't true, and this just like was a movie or something, you would think, nah, that's too outlandish. But this is actually happening. You know, another area, I mean, we've been talking a lot about voter suppression because it's finally being talked about in the corporate media, which is a big deal. But another, I mean, and at alecexposed.org, you've got a whole slate of different issues that ALEC is influencing legislation on. But a big one, especially down here in Florida, privatizing schools and higher education policy. Big one, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and Florida has been rocked by scandals of some of these schools that are taking tax dollars and putting a school up like on the second floor of a of a strip mall,
right.
Schools that, you know, don't have playgrounds, don't have coaches, don't have art teachers, don't have student councils, all the basics of, you know, an ordinary social education in most public schools. And ALEC companies are enormous drivers of this policy. ALEC foundations that fund ALEC have been pushing this agenda to basically take your tax dollars and divert them from the public schools and put them in the hands of private corporations, either charters, charter schools, which sometimes are sort of publicly controlled and sometimes not, or put them in through vouchers in the hands of private companies. So right now, ALEC has a task force on education, and the corporate co-chair of that task force is a so-called virtual school. It doesn't have bricks and mortar. It doesn't provide all the things that ordinary schools do. But the ALEC model legislation would actually require you, the taxpayer, through these bills, to pay that virtual school the same amount per pupil as a school that has a facility, has heat, has everything. It's shocking. And you know what, the thing that's just absolutely galling to me, and I think other people would be galled about, is these are your tax dollars that are supposed to be going to your public institutions, and instead they're being diverted out of public institutions, weakening those institutions, and often put right into the hands of corporations and CEOs who claim that they're providing the providing you with these services for less expense, but that's because they're hiring teachers who often aren't even certified by the state. They're hiring inexperienced teachers. They're often relying even on some of the volunteer teacher programs across the country. And then they're taking the difference and making that into their own profit. It's really people, when you hear the word privatization, you should be thinking, this is a way for corporations to put their hand in my pocket,
right,
and take profit out of my tax dollars for their own private good and private agenda.
Right. A while ago, I sort of said, instead of privatization, we should call it profitization, because that's what it's about. A big profit for private industry instead of, you know, anything in the public sector is going to run more efficiently because they're not there to make a profit. They're there to, you know, carry the service. And when it's your kids' schools, you know, that takes it to a whole other level. Again,
it really does.
Lisa Graves from Center for Media and Democracy. Their website is prwatch.org. alecexposed.org is the site they put together this year. And again, hours of not enjoyment, but
anger.
Yes, it is there. Now, one last question. So where do we go from here? What happens in 2012 with ALEC? What's happening with them?
Well, we've just got to shine a light on every one of these corporations and what their agenda is and how much money they're putting into some of these state campaigns. We're going to see big money in 2012. CMD is going to be tracking that money. We're going to be outing the CEOs who are basically trying to put their agenda into place with their cash and buy our legislatures.
Right. Now, you're based in Madison, Wisconsin. What's the latest on the Scott Walker recall?
Well, we are in Madison, and we hear that the numbers are speeding along for the recall petitions, and there's been a lot of skirmishes with ALEC politicians and other politicians trying to limit the ability of people to even sign recall petitions. There's
Wow.
a whole bunch of things going on in which these legislators are trying to basically prevent people from doing recalls.
You know, and I'm down here in Florida where the Scott administration has made even registering people to vote so difficult. The League of Women Voters is not even registering people anymore for fear of prosecution.
It's a scandal, and the fact is, League of Women Voters has been around for decades. It's got an untarnished reputation. It's a long time registrar of votes, but these are nothing more than right wing efforts to suppress the vote and suppress registration.
Yep.
It's really a scandal, and people ought to be outraged by this attack on the fundamental American right to vote.
Thank you for the great work you guys do over at Center for Media and Democracy. And one thing listeners can do is help spread the word. alecexposed.org. Tweet it out, Facebook it, send it to your right wing uncle. All right.
Thanks, Nicole.
All right, Lisa, thank you so much. Happy New Year. Have a great
holiday.
I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Sure.